Blog Talk Radio.
Coming live from Pittsburgh.
Fans, my name is Benson Fechter, and I'll be your host tonight. It is Friday, April 29th, 2016, and we have an exciting hour of baseball lined up for you today that includes previewing the Yankees and the Red Sox. The big news, D. Gordon's 80-game suspension for using performance-enhancing drugs. We talked about Bryant's mild ankle sprain, and I'm sort of tired about hearing about the NFL draft, so we're going to turn the chapter and talk about the MLB draft. And eight players who could possibly go number one overall. So the first thing we're going to get into tonight is talking about the Yankees and the Red Sox and how the storied rivalry is about to begin yet another chapter. They will resume their rivalry with a three-game series at Fenway Park beginning tonight. The game, one thing to point out, it will be on MLB Network, but it's also featuring the debut of MLB Plus, which is a data-driven online broadcast. Most of you know now about StatCast and how it takes, you know, the launch angle, the exit velocity, spin rate, all of these new stats. But MLB Plus is a data-driven broadcast. So pretty much you're going to be hearing the broadcast, but you can go in and you can see the data in real time. If you're a sabermetrician or you're just a numbers lover and you love to crunch numbers, this is going to be perfect for you. I highly suggest MLB Plus. Go check it out. I'm going to be watching the Pirate game, keeping score just like I've done all April. But I'm probably going to go back and see what MLB Plus looks like, and hopefully you'll send me some feedback on what you think about MLB Plus. Because I mean, I'm just starting to learn into all this. I'm using StatCast more and more often. The announcers, they're using StatCast a lot. They have StatCast probably open on their computer in the game. And I bet you the Yankees, Red Sox announcers, they'll probably be looking at MLB Plus while they're broadcasting on MLB Plus. So that definitely is a cool new feature that At-Bat has released, MLB has released. And baseball is really taking a step forward with that. I mean, they just the fans more integrated into the game. And numbers, obviously a huge part of every sport. Everybody looks at all the numbers, the standings, the stats, all that. It's important to the modern-day fan. And baseball wants to appeal to the modern-day fan. In order to do that, they have to release things like this. And it's not like they're forced to. It's not like it's a have to. I think it's a nice thing. And I think it will be like, so Rob Manfred, man, oh man. He's been an amazing commissioner so far, and I'm just happy. I really want to see what he's going to do in the future. I also think there could be a few expansion teams under his tenure. Next move probably be a 32. But I really like what Rob Manfred is doing. MLB Plus, it's going to be exciting. A data-driven online broadcast. Again, you'll be able to see the data in real time, which I think is pretty cool. And I will be checking out periodically over the course of the season. I believe by next year, MLB Plus will be an integrated part of baseball altogether, like how StatCast, you can see it right down there. I believe MLB Plus will be working for every single game, just like how they sort test ran StatCast. I think the test run for MLB Plus will be excellent. And then MLB Plus will make its really name known, I think, next year. Not the 2016 season. 2016 will be more of a trial. 2017 will be where things really get interesting in terms of MLB Plus. So I am super excited for that. You should be too. Check out the Yankees, Red Sox game on the MLB Network. And if you're sort of tired of hearing the MLB Network commentators, go to MLB.com, click the MLB Plus, and you can watch away with a data-driven broadcast, which, again, amazing. I am really looking forward to it. I hope you are too. So, Masahiro Tanaka tonight for the Yankees, which is revolving around MLB Plus. He'll be making his fifth start of the season after four solid outings to begin the year. For the Red Sox, lefty Henry Owens will make his second start since being called up from AAA Pawtucket to fill in the spot in the rotation, which is filled up by the injured Joe Kelly. So, a lot of questions revolved around the Yankees rotation. A lot of questions still do. It's not a perfect rotation, and it's definitely not a perfect team by any stretch. This team, fair to say, is struggling. And one of the things that I heard the other day is last year the Yankees were good, but they were still relatively old on the older side. Most of them were over the like hump of 30, which you never want to be on if you're a major baseball player. But when you're an old team and you're doing good, everything's fine. And now it's happy you're making the playoffs. It's all good. No complaints from the fans. But if you're an old team and you're doing poorly, then the fans, they're just gonna, especially in the New York atmosphere, the New York media, everybody talks about how much pressure is put onto these players. Man, oh man, the Yankees players, they must be feeling it right now. They definitely must be feeling it because I'm not going to say this is going to be like a long year, but it's looking like we're going on that track. Like, I don't know how to phrase this. Like, the Yankees, who I don't think have ever been in rebuilding mode, might have to go down that path. It's shocking because Yankees in rebuilding, you ask your father, your grandfather, they're like, what? The Yankees wouldn't rebuild. But yes, I think General Manager Brian Cashman has to now really consider that because this team is old. I think he might want to try to deal some players at the deadline if they continue to struggle as mightily as they have been struggling, especially guys like Alex Rodriguez, but nobody's going to take his contract. I mean, the Yankees, I mean, everything was fine last year. This was a surprise team. But the second half of the season, they really started to show their age. They really did. They had an impeccable first half of the year, especially for how old they were. They had the division lead. Everything was perfect until the Blue Jays swooped and made all their trades, and the Yankees just proved their age. They proved that they are not a young team. Now, I know they're trying to get younger, and I know they're not willing to trade any of their prospects. But again, I was talking about Yankees and rebuilding. Is it a possibility that the fact that the Yankees are keeping their prospects, their highly talented prospects, guys like Greg Bird, could they be going into full-scale rebuild mode? Because most of all the Yankees of their history, what they're known for is being free with their prospects. I mean, they trade their prospects for an ace any day. They trade their prospects for guys at the trade line just like prospects came in and came out. It wasn't really a question. The Yankees aren't really a homegrown organization, but they are trying to turn more and more to that. They're trying to get younger. And when teams try to get younger, most of the time, they go into full-scale rebuild. And I can definitely see the Yankees going into full-scale rebuild is a likely possibility. And I think that Brian Cashman should not only seriously consider it, but if I was Brian Cashman myself, I'd go straight to the owner of the Yankees and say, hey, do you want to get this team back to its glory days? Well, we're going to have to go through a slump. Now, I think that slump is probably going to take about 5 years if they do decide to do this. But one of the things hindering the Yankees from going into full-scale rebuild is the fact they're in New York. They're in the Bronx. With the pressure of the New York media, I don't think Brian Cashman will be able to do that because people will be staying out with him because there will be free agents. And Yankees fans are expecting to be in every free agency talk. It's just the way Yankees fans are. So, Brian Cashman, it might not be the best job for you to have in New York because in most towns, I think the Yankees would already gone to rebuild. But since the New York media is so pressuring and everything is so hard there, I don't think it will ever happen. This pitching matchup tonight between Masahiro and Tanaka and Henry Owens will be a rematch of the pitching matchup that took place at Yankee Stadium last August 4th when Owens made his major league debut, giving up 3 runs over 5 innings. Snock got the win, and that one is the Yankees went on to win 13-3. It's kind of interesting because the Red Sox got blown out the last time Henry Owens and Master Tanaka took the stage together. And Master Tanaka is pitching amazing. He's 1-0. He's a 2.92 ERA. And Henry Owens, I'll keep it on the kind side, has been less than amazing. He's 0-0 with an 8.1 ERA. So you look at that and you see what's going on. And you have to think to yourself, could it be another day where the Yankees win by 10? It's a possibility. But I think the Red Sox have a better team this year. And I think Henry Owens, since he said it was pretty much a blur the day of his, debut, he said he kind of reflected on it a couple times later. I think it should be fun. Honestly, this matchup, it's a rematch between Tanaka, Henry Owens. It should be fun. Most people think that Henry Owens probably won't get redemption. But I'm on the optimistic side for Red Sox because even though Tanaka has been dominant, I do think that the Red Sox could win. Here's a prediction, though. The Red Sox will win the series, but they will not win tonight because Tanaka has just been so amazing. The rest of the rotation, it's like, eh. But what one bright spot in that rotation, Luis Severino. He's a special player. A really special player. And I'd have suggested, if you do not know who Luis Severino, go look him up. Please, for me. That would be nice of you. Because Luis Severino, he is one amazing pitcher. Usually when you think of, the top prospects coming up in today's game, I think the first thing that comes to mind is guys like Jose Berrios, who just came up for the Twins. But most people, they do not think of the pitchers. We think guys, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, Byron Buxton, Chris Bryant, Kyle Schwarber, those mashers, right? But Luis Severino could be the next Paige Martinez. I've heard that comparison, and I like that comparison. And Henry Owens, I believe he is a lefty. I want to say that. I do not know that. But if he's a lefty, you could always say, he's going to be the next Clayton Kershaw. Sarcastically. All right, not sarcastically, because anybody can be the next Clayton Kershaw. It's not on any given day, I think. Tanaka, he went 7 innings in each of his previous 2 starts and has allowed 2 earned runs in every outing in 2016, so that's pretty good for him. So this is the first of 19 games between the rivals this season. They'll play again next week in the Yankee Stadium. They do play a lot, not any more than any other rival, division rivals anyway. So you might think, it's the average base of them. The Yankees and Red Sox play more than most rivals do. That answer is no. If you're in the same division, you'll play each team 19 times. The Yankees, they've gotten quite used to doing left-handed starts this season, as Owens, listen to this, will be the 8th they face in their past 10 games and the 10th in their 21st game of the season. They faced 5 consecutive lefties last week and are expected to face yet another on Sunday in Boston's David Price. So, people may say Henry Owens might do well because he's a lefty. No. Even though the Yankees lineup is old and they have a ton of lefties, the Yankees are used to it, and I think they can do some damage. So, my prediction, looking pretty stout there for tonight. Red Sox slugger David Ortiz has one last season to do damage against the Yankees. In his career against the Yanks, Ortiz is a 306 hitter with 47 homers, 158 RBIs, and 968 OPS. Now I'm going to put out the question for you to think of the break here. Will David Ortiz get a standing ovation next weekend at Yankee Stadium? People say, how everybody hated Kobe Bryant until he retired. Could Yankees fans, do that? I think that would be tough for them, but think about that. Will David Ortiz get a standing ovation at Yankee Stadium? Will it be his last time, or will it be his first time? Or somewhere in between? We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back to talk about Dee Gordon's 80-game suspension. All right, we're back on this side. We've been talking about sort of the Yankees and the Red Sox. I sort of focused a little bit on the Yankees a bit more than the Red Sox. Sorry, Red Sox fans out there. But I did talk about Henry Jones for a little. That was nice, right? So, Marlins fans, I know baseball fans around the country, they've probably heard about this by now. Second baseman D. Gordon gets an 80-game penalty. Marlins All-Star test positive for two performance-enhancing substances. You know what's funny, what I heard this morning while I was listening to the radio? They were connecting Barry Bonds to D. Gordon. Like, Barry Bonds went up into the corner. It's like, hey, D, you want some drugs? Like, that definitely did not happen. D. Gordon did this on his own. And I went to think. You know, I was like, all right, D. Gordon with the Dodgers, what was he? He was fast. What do performance-enhancing drugs do? They don't make you any faster. D. Gordon with the Dodgers. Did he hit? Was he the batting title? Let me think. No. Performance-enhancing drugs. Do they help you with batting? Has that been proven? Yes. D. Gordon signs a $550 million contract. And the Marlins must be thinking, what did we just do? What did we just do? I mean, I heard the statement from Marlins president this morning saying that he's going to be a key part of this organization. But if last year was a fluke, if it really was a fluke, the Marlins might have just made yet another mistake. For the franchise that I think is comparable to the Browns of the NFL, it just got a lot worse for you, buddies, because you still owe this guy a ton of money. But the good thing for you, you don't have to pay him the next 80 games. So he will be back, but will he be as good? That's the question. Will D. Gordon be as good when he's on performance-enhancing substances? The two that he was proven to be on. The two that he said he injected accidentally. And I was talking to a friend at school today. I was like, D. Gordon, he definitely didn't just see a glass of milk and be like, hey, this is performance-enhancing drugs. I'm going to drink it. No. He knew what he was taking. He did it, and he's lying. I would have a ton more respect for him if he said, yes, I took these performance-enhancing substances knowingly because I wanted the money. I wanted to get on this ballet, and I wanted to perform better. I take full responsibility for my actions, and I accept the 80-game suspension with pride and dignity, and I would never do this again. Now, if he said something along the lines of that, hey, that would be perfect for me. But still, I would be worried sick if I was a Marlins fan, even if he did say that, because he's not going to be as good when he comes back. There's just no way. No way a guy goes from as bad as he was with the Dodgers to the Marlins, wins a batting title, and then gets called performance-enhancing substances or drugs, whichever you want to say, and then comes back and does well, unless he's still on them. Now, that's an interesting thing because Major League Baseball is starting to really crack down performance-enhancing substances. And if D. Gordon wants to stay in the spotlight, will he turn to performance-enhancing drugs? Will he do it again? Will he be a repeat user? And we know repeat users get a 4-year. If you repeat a third time, you're gone. He will join the bench with Pete Rose and Henry Mejia. Henry Mejia was the first one to get it. Could D. Gordon be the next? I think it's a likely possibility. I think D. Gordon, I know he still has, he has this chance then, so like two more chances to make himself better, but he has to hone his skill. And he's fast, but he's not going to be as good with the bat, Marlins fans. I would likely see him batting eighth when he comes back. Again, he's the reigning National League Batting Championship, a 2-time All-Star, and suspended by Major League Baseball for 80 games without pay for violating Major League Baseball's drug policy. The Office of the Commissioner of Baseball levied the suspension after Gordon tested positive. All right, let me see if I can say this. I've been practicing exogenous testosterone and clostebol, performance-enhancing substances, and violation of Major League Baseball's Joint Drug Prevention and Treatment Program. It is effective immediately. Gordon will be eligible to return on July 29th as the Marlins play host to the Cardinals. he would not, again, he would not be eligible to play in the postseason. What do you think about that? Now, I'm going to do a quick search, actually. Sorry if you hear my typing in the background as well. On exogenous testosterone. And we're going to go into it and see what the effects are. How it helps, okay? So, pulling it up right now. Let's see what it says. I'll answer that. Exogenous testosterone is a preventable cause of male infertility. All right, here are the results to taking exogenous testosterone. It suppresses intratesticular testosterone production, which is an absolute prerequisite for normal spermatogenesis. Therapies that protect the testis involve human chorionic gonadotropin therapy or selective estrogen receptor modulators, but may also include low-dose HCG with exogenous testosterone. Serums such as clomiphene citrate are effective for maintaining testosterone production and represent a well-tolerated oral therapy. Routine use of aromatase inhibitors is not recommended based on a lack of long-term data. So, pretty much, exogenous testosterone supplementation decreases sperm production. Studies of hormonal contraception indicate that most men have a return of normal sperm production within 1 year of discontinuation. Clomiphene citrate is a safe and effective therapy for men who desire to maintain future potential fertility, although less frequently used in the general population. HCG therapy with or without testosterone supplementation represents an alternative treatment. Reading that, I'm like, first off, why is it on Major League Baseball's like drug prevention? Because why do they care if men want to be more fertile? I don't understand that. Next, I don't understand why he's even taking that drug, because of what I know, it decreases the sperm production. So, why? Why take such a stupid drug? I just did like a rage on him. Pretty mad at D-Corn, but like, for that? I think we need to go see what Clostables, because exogenous testosterone definitely does not do anything. Let's go check out Clostable. Okay. Let's see what it is. Clostable, usually as the ester Clostable acetate or Clostable anesthate, is a synthetic anabolic androgenic steroid. That's a key word. Clostable is the 4-chloro derivative of the natural hormone testosterone. It is a weak anabolic steroid which is used by athletes from the German Democratic Republic. It's a version of testosterone that is chlorinated to prevent conversion of something testosterone, also rendering it incapable of conversion to estrogen. So what I'm thinking, Clostable is a steroid. I think exogenous testosterone was to maybe offset the Clostable to, you know, is manhood, you could say. So that's pretty interesting. Clostable. So if you're wondering what exogenous testosterone, what my theory is that he took Clostable for the performance enhancing drugs to help him out, right? And he took exogenous testosterone after that to, you know, offset everything. So that's the on the drugs. I'm not a doctor. I can't pronounce any of those words. I'm really sorry if you couldn't hear what I was trying to get to you. But this announcement was made minutes after the Marlins defeated the Dodgers 5-3, completing a 4-game sweep at Dodger Stadium. Now, that's just heartbreaking. The Marlins are, you know, they're on a roll. They just upped the Dodgers in 4 games at Dodger Stadium. D-Gord's a key part of their team. He's playing leadoff. He's playing amazing. What? What's this? He's suspended? Now that's going to be just utter devastation for Miami and the Marlins fans. It just has to be that because D. Gordon, face of the franchise. No, he's not. My bad, I lied. John Carlos Stanton, Jose Fernandez, Sarah Buffin. But D. Gordon is one of the more pivotal parts. He's the leadoff guy. When people go to see the Marlins offense, who comes up first? D. Gordon. Who will not be coming up first until July? D. Gordon. Now it'll be interesting again to see how he fares after he has served his suspension. Will he be good or will he be bad? Will not taking Constable help him? I don't think exogenous testosterone is going to really do anything. And one of the key parts of the suspension is he will not be eligible for postseason participation. So the Marlins, who, fair to say, they are a playoff hopeful team, and it's a reasonable possibility they make the playoffs. D. Gordon will not be joining them when that, or if, I'll say if, that happens. So another blow. Because if you remember Alex Rodriguez, Irvin Santana of the Twins, you were talking about, you know, how the Twins are about to make the playoffs last year. Like, well, Irvin Santana can't even pitch for us anyway, so we're going to lose. They wound up to not even make the playoffs. So, it didn't even come into effect. But I guarantee you, if the Marlins do make the playoffs, D. Gordon will be sorely missed because of his participation he's had. Again, D. Gordon took exogenous testosterone, and Clostable will be serving his 80-game suspension. Again, interesting how he'll do when he comes back, and if he actually does come back July 29th against the St. Louis Cardinals, the question, will he be good? Will he be bad? My guess, bad. My guess from the lineup, eighth. Just what I think. Gordon has been an all-star the past two seasons. He won the NL batting title last year when he posted a .333 average with a league-best 205 hits and 58 steals. He also had the NL with 64 steals in 2014 before the Dodgers traded him to the Marlins. Gordon was off to a slower start this season, only batting .266 with 6 steals through 21 games. However, his RBI single in the 7th inning on yesterday tied the score 2-2 and knocked Dodgers starter Kenta Maeda out of the game. Gordon went 1-for-4 with a walk and run scored in Thursday's victory, Miami's 5th straight. Gordon, who turned 20 on April 22nd, is the son of former big league pitcher Tom Gordon. He was a 4th-round pick by the Dodgers in the 2008 draft. In 2015, he turned in one of the best individual seasons in Marlins history, and in January, they signed him to a new contract worth $50 million. At a time, Miami's on a hot streak. The club now has to deal with some significant adversity, going without one of its leaders and top players until late July. The Marlins will have to shuffle their roster a bit to fill in at second. Miguel Rojas is a candidate, as is Derek Dietrich. They even could use Martin Prado at second from time to time and go with Dietrich at third. So that's that. We will see you after the break, and we'll be moving on to Chris Bryant's mild ankle sprain, and we'll check in on him and see how he is faring. That's next. Just happened during the show. Chris Bryant's MRI confirms a mild ankle sprain, and the Cubs, I don't know if this is good news or bad news, but he is definitely hurt. He definitely has this whole thing sprained. And Cubs already lost Kyle Schwarber this year, which obviously is not good since he's one of their better production players. But now, Chris Bryant is out. It's not that bad. It really isn't. So, I don't think the Cubs should try to rush him back, though. That is the big thing for me. If the Cubs do indeed elect to rush Chris Bryant back from this injury, I think it could be a mess. Because, listen, right now, the Cubs are still in a position without Chris Bryant, without Kyle Schwarber. They're the best team in baseball, hands down, in my mind. Even without those two, they're still best team in baseball. The Nationals are starting to fade after being swept by the Phillies. So that's a one major thing you have to take into account. That, listen, without Chris Bryant, the Cubs are still amazing. They're still fantastic. They're still great. All of this, it's still going to happen. All the hype and everything that's been surrounding the Cubs, it could still happen without Chris Bryant. It could still happen without Kyle Schwarber. All this can still happen. It's still very feasible. So do not be that worried yet, Cubs fans. Do not be that worried. Because the Cubs are still a good team. Without Chris Bryant. The Cubs are still a good team without Kyle Schwarber. It's an obvious thing. Everybody knows it. They still listen to who they still have. Russell. They still have Jorge Soler. They still have arguably the best pitcher in baseball. I think right now he's the best pitcher in baseball. And Jake Arrieta. John Lester, he's pitching well. And the Cubs, they are poised for a run. They really are. And if they try to rush back Chris Bryant, which I think is a likely possibility, because obviously there will be pressure on the organization rushing back, because I believe uniform sales have been like one of the highest for Chris Bryant. That is definitely worthy. So what I just really want to point out is, fans, Cubs fans, do not be worried. Do not be worried about Chris Bryant. Please, just don't be. Media, also don't be. I'm not worried. Nobody should be worried. Because, again, mild ankle sprain. Nothing's broken. No fractures. It's not like a normal ankle sprain. It's mild. You have to keep that in mind. Cubs will be fine. Everything's going to be fine. It's not panic time in Chicago. I know people are saying, oh, the curse of the Billy Goat is back. Bryant's hurt. Schwarber's here. Who's going to go next? Arrieta? Listen, that's not going to happen. There's no curse. Billy Goat can't cause 100 years of losing. And it's not going to cause him to lose this year. It definitely won't. I don't necessarily want them to win the World Series this year. But what I do want is them to be successful. Because Chicago has some of the best baseball fans in all the game. And the fact that they are losing Chris Bryant and Kyle Schwarber is a bit devastating for them. And during the show, the MRI confirmed Chris Bryant has a mild right ankle sprain. It is not in today's lineup. However, manager Joe Maddon did send Bryant to the on-deck circle in the seventh inning, the Cubs, a 6-1 win over the Braves before double play at the end of the frame. So what does that mean? It means that Chris Bryant is not as hurt as people are making him out to be. I know the MRI confirmed it at 5:37 p.m., which is 7 minutes into the show. It was confirmed. But what has to be realized is that he's fine. He's really not that hurt. That has to be realized if you're a Cubs fan. And if it's not realized, then things are, going to be bad. They definitely are not going to be that good. So just keep that in mind to all the Cubs fans out there, that Chris Bryant, he's fine. Don't worry about it. Please. For my sake and for your sake, you don't want to give yourself a heart attack over something that's not worth giving yourself a heart attack over. I actually have bad news for you guys. I'm going to have to end the show a bit early. I have a family emergency. So I will see you Monday, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com. Please head over to our website at mlbinside.com at any time of the day. I'd love to see you guys go over there. And also, if you don't know, I mean, he's a legend, Lenny Melnick. He has a great show, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. He's sort of helping me out with everything. So go check him out, LennyMelnickFantasySports.com. I believe that's what it is. Yeah, so go check out the website. Also, if you haven't seen the documentary yet, I suggest you go check it out on YouTube. Just search up Opening Day Documentary. It is a really cool thing. I loved making it for you guys. And I'm sorry, but we will definitely get to draft preparation on Monday. I think our focus for a while will be preparing for the draft and seeing who's going to go where. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Benson Spector. We'll see you Monday. And May, actually. That's pretty cool. 5:36 p.m. Have a wonderful day, and let's go Bucks.